prepare to come to the Lord's table tonight, I invite you to take your copy of God's Word and find 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Thank you, Matthew McVeigh, for filling in so ably tonight for Brother Adam, who is hopefully in Nashville by now for a conference, and he'll be back on Wednesday in time for choir rehearsal. So choir members, he'll be back. If you're thinking about joining the choir, and if you hadn't thought about it, you probably should. And 5:30 on Wednesday. Let's think tonight about a memorial meal. Memorials are important to all people. If you've ever been to our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., you find all kinds of monuments there that memorialize famous Americans who've gone before us. Of course, there is the largest, the tallest, would be the Washington Monument there on the Mall. And then at the end of the Mall, on the west end of the Mall, is the Lincoln Memorial. And in recent years, other memorials have been constructed in Washington. I think of the Vietnam War Veterans Memorial, the Korean War Veterans Memorial, the memorial for Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and then there's one in recent years for Martin Luther King. So those are historical reminders of those who've gone before us. Then there are visual memorials, reminders, I should say, corporate logos. Wherever you go in the world, you'll see the golden arches. You know there's a Big Mac close by, and they're not in every country, but they're in a lot of countries. And then there are the interlocking rings of the Olympic Games. You see those interlocking rings, you think of Olympic athletes and the games. There's the orange and blue AU. And I heard the other day it's getting tweaked a little bit, so we'll see how that turns out. As long as they don't make it crimson and white. I apologize to the Crimson Tide fans here. I know there are a few, and it's a demonstration of the power of the gospel to bring, you know, competing interests together. I'm sorry, I sometimes say things I shouldn't say, but some of the most recognizable symbols of the 20th century, the century just passed, and even into this era, would be the Mickey Mouse ears. Think of Disney World. Coca-Cola logo. Back in the 20th century, the Nazi swastika, a symbol of evil. Our day, the Nike swish, whatever it is. And then there are Christian symbols going all the way back to the days of the first century church. The sign of the fish drawn in the dust, the ichthus sign. And then there's the dove, symbolic of the Holy Spirit descending. And then, of course, the most obvious, the most visible of all, the cross. And three crosses here. Every time I stand to preach, there's a cross here, cross here, cross here. Reminding us of Jesus and reminding us of the sacrifice that he made for our eternal redemption. The Lord's Supper is a memorial instituted by Jesus for us to honor him, to remember specifically the sacrifice that he made for our salvation. And not so much his teachings or his miracles, but his death, which is a gruesome, bloody death on the cross. And so tonight we're going to take the Lord's Supper, the bread which symbolizes his body, and the cup which symbolizes his blood given for us. And I want to say to all gathered here tonight that you are welcome to this supper if you're a born-again, baptized follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not, I would just strongly encourage you just to pass the elements of the bread and the cup by, because Scripture says that some who take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner have brought judgment upon themselves. This is an in-house meal. This is for the people of God. This is for the redeemed sons and daughters of God. This is an occasion for us to come together as the people of God and to remember the sacrifice Jesus made for us. So there are three things I want to say about the Lord's Supper tonight, this memorial meal, and to prepare us to take it tonight. The first is look back and remember. When we come to the Lord's table, we are to look back and remember. I want you to see this with me in verses 23, 24, and 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23, 24, and 25. Look in verse 23. For I received from the Lord what also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Not once but twice we see in those verses that we are to take this meal as a memorial meal, to remember Jesus. In regard to the bread, to remember his body nailed to the cross. In regard to the cup, remember his blood shed on the cross. Remember Christ's body crucified, nails in his hand and in his feet, and the sword in his side. To remember Christ's blood shed for us. Now, if you go in the Old Testament, you see all those sacrifices that were made across all the centuries of Hebrew history. There were bloody sacrifices, starting all the way back with Abel, who gave an animal sacrifice which was pleasing to God, as opposed to the vegetable sacrifice offered by his brother Cain, which was not according to faith and not pleasing to God. The sacrifice that Abraham made when he was prepared to sacrifice the son of promise, Isaac, but there was the thicket, the ram caught in the thicket that God provided, who became the sacrifice, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross. And then, of course, the account in Exodus chapter 12 of the Passover lambs that were sacrificed down in Egypt so that the firstborn of every Hebrew household would not be killed, as the firstborn of all the household of Egypt were killed. All of this shedding of blood pointed to the shedding of blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come and shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. So when we come to the Lord's table, it's an occasion to look back and remember. Secondly, it's an occasion to look within our own hearts and repent of any unconfessed sin. We see this in verses 27 through 32. Look in verse 27 and following. "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks of the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment upon himself. And that is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep," which is Paul's metaphor for physical death. Verse 31, "But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world." So when we come to the Lord's table, those of us who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are to look within and to ask the Spirit of God to search our hearts and see if there's any unconfessed sin there. And if the Spirit of God does convict us of some area of our life that dishonors the Lord, to be quick to forsake it, to confess it to God, to agree with God that it is sin, and to ask for the cleansing blood of Jesus, knowing if we confess our sins, God will forgive us and purify us from our sins. It is a time to examine ourselves. It is not a time to examine somebody else's life. Okay? Just examine our own lives, our own hearts. Why? Because self-examination, number one, helps to reveal to us our sins. If we ask, the Holy Spirit will show us. Number two, self-examination encourages repentance. If I see this sin in my life, the Spirit of God has revealed to me, then I'm encouraged to turn from it. And number three, self-examination underscores our need of God's grace day after day after day. We dare not come to the Lord's table with unclean hands and an impure heart. So if there's any known sin in your life, as your pastor, I exhort you, put it away before you take of the bread and the cup. So as we oftentimes do, I want us to have a time of self-examination. We don't need any music playing in the background. And I want you to find, to guide us during this time, Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Just find that portion of Scripture, Romans chapter 12, and with your Bible open before you, I want you to just quietly, silently read through verses 9 through 21 and see if there's something there in your life that the Spirit of God uses that passage to speak to you about that you need to forsake. And if so, put it at the foot of the cross. Let's take a few minutes and do that at this time. Having spent a few moments looking within, searching our hearts, and where necessary, repenting, having looked back to the cross and remembering the awful price that Jesus has paid for our redemption, next I want you to look ahead. Let's look ahead and rejoice. See this in verse 26, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And we have the great hope that someday Jesus will come. He came, he returned to heaven, and he will return to planet Earth, clothed in majesty and splendor. And every knee shall bow before King Jesus and acknowledge that he is the Lord of all. And that gives occasions for rejoicing. So this meal, this Lord's Supper meal, is not just memorial, it is that, but it's also celebration and anticipation of what is yet to come. Our crucified Savior is our resurrected Savior, and our crucified resurrected Savior is our ascended Savior, and our crucified resurrected and ascended Savior is our returning Lord. He is coming again. We are resurrection people. And that makes all the difference, both in time and in eternity.